You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
This segment is brought to you by Allan Gray, 50 years of long-term investing. Allan Gray is an authorized financial services provider. Consumer staples, the likes of popular brands that you know, the Tiger brands of the world, the ShopRites of the world, the Coca-Colas of the world, seemingly underperforming for the most part, but could be a good time to get into those. I'm joined on the line by portfolio manager at Allan Gray, Kamal Govan, to take a look at the market of consumer staples and whether or not now's the right time to be getting into that. Good evening, Kamal. Thanks so much for taking the time. Lovely to chat to you. Let's look at the performance of consumer staples. I mean, obviously, with all the pressures that have been going on globally, some would argue that consumer staples could have taken a bit of a back foot against things like inflation rates and interest rates and all of those other conversations. But at the same time, consumers still consume those goods.
Good evening, Jimmy. Lovely to be back on the show. You're 100% right. The kind of pressures on the consumer on the one side from the factors you've highlighted are real. And you could argue building, if we just look at the recent past from the COVID onset. But these are everyday items that we almost can't live without. And so there's this balance between, this demand stability versus some of the pressures from these factors like inflation and higher prices and kind of what that means for these companies and how they balance these things together.
It's interesting that you mentioned that the consumer staples are things that we can't exactly live without. That then brings up the conversation around when looking at a portfolio of consumer staple stocks, those could be considered similar to the financial stocks as defensive stocks, because if consumers are going to spend on that regardless of the economic conditions, that kind of sounds like a defensive stock to me.
Yeah, I think that's right. So, if we take a step back and we kind of look at some of the characteristics of what makes these businesses defensive, there's like a few things we could highlight. So one, just that demand stability, these are things we buy whether it's good times or bad. They are typically everyday products, the likes of your washing powder and your, maize meal, if you like, in the South African context, or Coca-Cola was a good global example. You overlay this stable demand with very often a very strong brand. So all of us have some affinity to the underlying brands of these products. And that doesn't have to be some big global brand. Often it can be a local brand or even a private label brand these days, which is kind of gaining share globally. And you look at those two things together and a strong brand and a loyal consumer, that gives these type of businesses some sort of pricing power, right? These are not luxury items per se. So we go into the supermarkets or wherever we buy these items, and price is typically not the first thing that comes to mind. It's almost like I really like this brand, I really like this product, let me put it in my basket. Obviously, there's nuances around that in terms of specials and things. And so, these type of factors create, a stable business with strong brands, good pricing, and you overlay that with these huge global businesses that have a tremendous amount of scale, that's exactly what underpins some of the defensive behavior, or theoretically anyway.
Kamal, so then why do the likes of the Warren Buffetts go and sell out of some of their consumer staple stocks? I'm thinking about something like Apple, which would meet all of the criteria that you said. It might not be a staple in terms of everyday consumption, but it is a stock that people are there solely for the brand, or primarily for the brand. And yet you've got an investor like Warren Buffett who's in Apple and in Coca-Cola liquidating those positions and saying, I'd rather sit on cash. Are there risks to the consumer staples sector?
Yes, certainly, Jimmy. So I think, I'm not necessarily sure we'd put Apple in the consumer staples bucket.
For some, it might be.
No, I agree. At the very top end of the market, you could argue it is a consumer staple. But you mentioned Warren Buffett's other stock, something like a Coca-Cola. That's been kind of steadfast in his portfolio for decades, if you like, and an investment he's very fond of. But look, the risks are there. And I think, some of the risks we see for these businesses, you look at how why do these businesses' top lines grow in a steady way? It's because you've got that volume underpin and you've got this predictable pricing. But one of the things that we've seen, and actually very recently and relatably for most of us, is, you've got to distinguish between price increases on the one hand, that, you know, these businesses can incrementally increase prices. But the flip side of that in an environment we are now is just the absolute price level. You know, so some of these things have become expensive. And so, you know, you now go to the supermarket and it's not, you know, you almost think, do I buy this brand of washing powder or do I actually trade down to another one? So that's one of the things. The second risk is, you know, in the world we live in now, technology is omnipresent and ever-present, if you like, and that actually makes it easier for upstarts to compete with these big brands, right? So back in the day where, you know, it was print and television, kind of the main ways of reaching a consumer, that's now changed, you know. Brands can reach us on our mobile phones 24/7, if you like, and that puts more kind of brands in front of our faces and actually adds risk to some of the bigger juggernauts of the world. And another one to highlight is just changing consumer habits. So, you know, I don't think we need to talk much about GLP-1s and the potential impact something like that could have on certain consumer products. But, you know, changing habits of these long-running steadfast brands is another risk. So, you know, those are some of the big risks that we think about in the staples environment.
But with every risk comes an opportunity for a reward. I mean, otherwise, why then would you take the risk, right? So, and that brings us to kind of the discussion here is there opportunity in the staples sector, in the consumable staples sector, for stocks where you might be saying they've been beaten down for quite a bit of time? There's been a lot of negative sentiment. We are starting to finally see green shoots across the board, regardless of which markets you're looking at. It might take a bit of time, but is there opportunity and is it the right time to be exploring that?
I definitely think so. So, look, you can make this big thematic argument whether it's the right time or not. You know, we don't typically do that as bottom-up investors. But from our perspective, there are definitely opportunities to be found not only in South Africa, but also globally. So how do we think about this, right? So we typically start with saying, okay, so, you know, what do we expect for these various companies that we analyze in the consumer staple space, and then what's been priced in by the market according to how we think about things. And if we find a disconnect there, that's a great starting point. What we're finding now is that, you know, maybe that's not enough, especially in an environment where it's easier to own the big kind of tech stocks of this world and kind of just chug along that way. But we're saying, okay, I think you can overlay that, you know, the disconnect between our expectations and market pricing with self-help levers that a lot of these businesses have that can improve our expected returns. And so, you know, if you add those two things together, I think there's definitely opportunity that we are finding in the sector right now.
And is that opportunity kind of limited to a particular geographical area? I mean, I mention that because we've seen consumers under pressure and under strain throughout the world. So you're not really going to go into a consumer environment and say, oh, this consumer is doing exceptionally well, unless you're looking at a very high end of that market segment in that particular region. But are there certain consumer staple stocks perhaps that might perform better because of their geographical exposure?
Yeah, so it's an excellent point you make, right? So I think if you think about some of the big consumer staple names that come to mind, you know, even in South Africa, so on our exchange, we've got the likes of British American Tobacco or InBev. You know, these are not necessarily limited to one geography. In fact, it's the opposite. You know, these are well-diversified businesses that operate in, you know, large parts of the world, and they have different mix in terms of the underlying consumer exposure. You know, some of them have higher emerging markets exposure, some of them have higher developed markets exposure. So I think, you know, from that perspective, you're not necessarily limited to, you know, being forced into taking a view on whether one consumer is strong or not. Should you wish to do that, however, then you can start to look at some, you know, like the domestic consumer staple stocks in South Africa. You could say, well, you know, I'm a little bit more optimistic post the government of national unity and what that might mean for economic growth. And so, you know, some of our staple stocks look more attractive. Those are the opportunities that you can think about. But I think to answer your question directly, you know, it's not that we're seeing value in one geography over the other. It's more that, you know, we're seeing value in some specific themes. You know, we like some of the beaten down names where we think, you know, the combination of a low starting valuation and kind of these self-help measures can really change outcomes over the long term.
The value is out there. You just have to look for it and potentially find the really good ones. We'll leave it at that, Kamal. Thanks so much for the time and for the insights. Kamal Govan, Portfolio Manager at Allan Gray, on the consumer staples sector and whether or not it could be of value to your portfolio. This segment was brought to you by Allan Gray, 50 years of long-term investing. Allan Gray is an authorized financial services provider.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.